A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. Verbum Domini. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Saba shall bring tribute. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. Lord, have mercy on
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on the shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened.
Ebum Domini.
The church continues with her celebration of the Christmas season as we move from the Feast of the Epiphany this past Sunday to the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord this Sunday. And the theme of Epiphany is the dawning of a great light that is shown upon all nations. The Magi, who were guided by the light of a star towards the light of the world, Jesus Christ, represent the Gentile nations who are included in God's salvific plan. The Magi travel from their own land to pay homage to the newborn king, thus signifying the reconciliation between all nations and between Jews and Gentiles that takes place in Christ. And as we prayed in the collect prayer at the beginning of Mass today, O God, who bestow light on all the nations, grant your peoples the gladness of lasting peace and pour into our hearts that brilliant light by which you purified the minds of our fathers in faith. And this prayer reminds us that the church always desires peace, peace within individual countries, peace between the various nations of the world, and peace within our own hearts. And the peace that is signified by the visit of the Magi to the Messiah in Israel is the peace that God wills for all humanity. The first reading today from the first letter of St. John teaches us of the love of God and how this love only remains in those who love their neighbor, that is, those who love their brothers and sisters throughout the world. St. John says in the first paragraph today, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Notice that this is a conditional statement, meaning that God remains in us if we love one another. If this conditional statement is true, then it logically follows that God does not remain in us if we do not love one another. In fact, St. John affirms this later in his letter when he says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If we wish to be sincere in our love for God, then we must also love our neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor are inseparable. And furthermore, if we truly love one another, not only does God remain with us, but our love continues to grow until it reaches perfection. So even if it is true that we love one another and God remains in us, we can always grow. We can always grow deeper in that love. If from the outset we do not know how to love as we ought, then we simply need to put into practice love for our neighbor, and we will learn from God himself how to love as we ought to love. If we remain open to the Lord and listen to his word, he will perfect in us what still needs to be purified. In other words, there is always room for improvements among those who have God dwelling in them. Our hearts should always remain docile to the working of the Holy Spirit in them. And if our love needs to be perfected, then what does perfect love look like? How do we know when our love is perfected? What signs can we look for in ourselves that indicate perfect love? Well, St. John gives us the answer at the end of today's first reading. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. According to John, fear is incompatible with a love that has been perfected. It would be natural for us at this point to think about the saints, especially the martyrs throughout history, whose love so completely that they did not fear their persecutors or those who put them to death. As St. Stephen was being stoned to death, he did not fear his executioners. We do not see him cursing his enemies or picking up a weapon to fight for his life. Rather, Stephen prays for them, as Jesus prayed for his enemies from the cross, and he asks the Lord not to hold his enemies' sin against them. And fear is a powerful motivator in our lives. Many of our decisions are made out of fear. And the word fear is used in a variety of ways. Sometimes it indicates a feeling of fear, such as when we see something that is scary, like a creepy insect or an intimidating animal. We might feel fear when we hear that a hurricane or a tornado is heading towards us. It is quite natural for us to feel fear in these instances. It's a natural response that certain stimuli motivates us to act. If you hear that a hurricane is coming towards you, then fear will motivate you to either evacuate or seek shelter immediately. If fear motivates us to do something good, then there is nothing inherently wrong with it. However, if a person hears that a hurricane is coming and they only seek to help themselves to escape and neglect to help others or even put others in danger, when it is in their power to help other people, then the person may have chosen fear over love. But when it is regarded as a feeling, fear is in itself morally neutral. But when it motivates us to do what is wrong, or when our fear becomes irrational because it is based on faulty or misinformation or disinformation, then it is opposed to love. And sometimes irrational fears that are directed towards other people or groups of people transform into forms of prejudice, bias, or bigotry. We develop irrational fears towards foreigners, foreign nations, people who look differently or act differently, or immigrants, and many other groups of people. And if we continue to lean into these irrational fears without seeking out good information that would help us to better understand different people, nations, or political or social situations, then we are failing in the love of God and the love of neighbor. If we fail to love our neighbor, then the love of God cannot abide in us. And we also use the word fear when we speak of the fear of the Lord. However, the fear of the Lord does not mean that we have an irrational fear that is directed towards the Lord God. Even the Greek word that is translated as fear in today's first reading can also mean filled with awe or reverence. So when we say the fear of the Lord, we are talking about a reverential fear. It is not a servile fear, as if we are afraid that the Lord will punish us for failing to do what we ought to do. It is a filial fear, by which we show our love and respect for the Lord, because he is our God and our loving Father. And this kind of reverential fear, which is compatible with the love of God, is not the type that St. John has in mind today, in today's reading. And how do I know that? Because he says so himself. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishments. So clearly, when John speaks of fear, he's talking about a kind of servile fear that should not remain in someone who has become a child of God through baptism. It is this kind of fear that love drives out from us, along with any form of irrational fear that would separate us from our brothers and sisters or lead us to hate them. And so as the church continues to contemplate the mystery of the Epiphany during this week leading up to the baptism of the Lord, we renew our commitment to love, that is, to love God and to love one another. It is the church's desire to make the peace of Christ known throughout the world. And our love for the Lord's presence in the Holy Eucharist and for one another motivates us to work towards building a more just society for all, so that the world might come to know Christ's peace. And during this season of Christmas, with the angels of heaven, we proclaim through our words and our actions, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill.